Welcome to Running on Ice, the coolest community in freight. I'm your host, Mary O'Connell, bringing you the latest tech updates, warehouse news, and everything happening in the cold chain world. Not only is there the coolest show in freight, but there's also Running on Ice, a newsletter that could not be colder. You could subscribe to that on freightwaves.com/runningonice. Today, we welcome back a familiar face in the form of Travis Ross, the Senior Technical Account Manager for EROAD North America. And we welcome a new face, Conrad Stempniak, and he is the EROAD's Executive General Manager for Australia and New Zealand. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Good day.
I am very excited about today, not just because we finally get to go to the land down under and see how things are done, but also it's always a good time when we have EROAD on the show. But before we get too far into it, Travis, we kind of know your background here. Conrad, why don't you give us a little bit of rundown on how you got started at EROAD?
Oh, you're too kind, Mary. Thank you very much. So I've been with EROAD for 3 years. I was asked to come help build the business, which is a strong passion of mine, especially in the technology space. I love building teams, growing businesses, and providing returns to shareholders. So here I am, 3 years on, running both regions, and couldn't be happier.
I like it. That's kind of the best of both worlds when you get to bring something that you love and then also be really good at it and just happen to make some money along the way.
Absolutely. Couldn't have put a better myself, Mary.
All right. So let's just get right into it today. What do you guys think is really kind of attributing to the rise in growth or adaptation of emerging technologies in the cold chain space?
So for me, it's easy for me to remember about 6 years ago when I was a transportation manager at the moment. I wasn't thinking about these things. You and I have talked about it before. I didn't want to hear it, didn't want to think about it, had drivers to hire, all the operational things to do. But then things changed with COVID, of course. We've heard it a million times. So for me, I think the biggest focus is scalability. Like you literally can't find enough skilled people to run your organizations. I mean, I saw an interesting story last night, an automated burger joint. I forget where it was, but it was the first in the country burger joint, fully automated hamburger experience, because at every level, we just have a hard time keeping folks on teams. So the scalability, everybody's leaning into it fast.
Yeah, and I think to build on top of that, Travis, certainly from an Australia and a New Zealand perspective, what we've certainly seen and feeling is rising economic pressures. So whether that's the cost of gas or fuel, as we'd say in Australia, the squeeze on some of our supply chains. So people want more data, they want more knowledge. And that's exactly what telematics provides. It gives you those meaningful insights to make real-time decisions. As trucks or trailers are being transported, you can change routes if there's a traffic jam up ahead to optimize your fuel levels. So it's always been that drive of data, insight, and being able to do something with it real time.
Have you guys noticed that if I am a new shipper and I go and I, get some new data points, or I get this extra piece of technology integrated into my kind of daily life, have you noticed that once I go down that avenue, there's really no going back? Because I know that sometimes, you might partner with a certain software provider, things end up not working out, you go to work with another software provider, and just by the sheer nature of it, you lose a piece of functionality. Have you seen that, once shippers kind of hit this new level of technology or this new thing that they can, that then there's kind of no going back? They're like, this is my new table stakes. There's nothing else that's going to make me want to go backwards in the technological path that I'm on.
Well, yes, because I mean, once you've peeled the curtain back, it's almost like food quality in North America is never going to go backwards. We talked about this before, unless there's a zombie apocalypse, right? But also, it's if you're a shipper, wait, I'm going to work on my accent. If you're a shipper, and anyway, I had to try that. If I'm a shipper, a lot of the scenarios we have here in North America where shippers, they don't have their private fleets, right? So they're outsourcing and they have a multitude, usually several different carriers that are delivering, say I'm responsible for mass distribution of some delicious country milk gravy. Conrad Well, I don't know. We'll ask Conrad if they even have that in Australia. He's missing out if they don't. But I'm a shipper and I care about this because I am likely ponying up some of the bills for my carriers. I might be paying for the fuel. I might be paying for the labor. I might be paying for the maintenance and the product. So shippers have a very much a strong vested interest in understanding if their carrier networks are running lean. And they can do that with clicks of a button, seconds every day with these types of telematics.
So Conrad, the real question is, do they have milk gravy in Australia and New Zealand?
I thought that was a type of cream or something you put on your face.
Gross.
No, we don't. It comes with milk gravy. And I experienced grits the other year when Travis took me to a restaurant. Well, that's a whole different story, right? So we'll park that. But I think that for us, it's, yeah, from a shipper's perspective, they definitely, it'd be like losing your arm. It's you're losing something that you've had and added so much value to your business. Because for us, it's a lot about quality. So being able to trace back our freight and logistics and understanding, you know, how things have been maintained, like how things have been maintained in terms of temperature compliance, where they're at from a loading dock perspective, because we get quite busy. So it's once again about efficiency. It's about quality. And if all of a sudden that disappears or if that feature is not there anymore, businesses, especially the large cold chain businesses that we deal with, start to struggle and, you know, lose insights that they once relied upon to make those decisions.
So what is your best, I guess for both of you, what is your best kind of, you know, because there's all these new technologies that come out, you can do all these different things, but then you have too much noise, you know, you kind of have, you lose some of that, the cool feature of, okay, I know exactly what is happening with this reefer unit in this location, I have all of this visibility on this tool. But sometimes you get too much information and too many data points that you're kind of left going, okay, well, I'm in that position I was when I first started. So kind of what is that, what is your guys' favorite point to go, oh, we might have gone too far and we might need to dial it back because we have too much data and too much input right now. What is kind of that breaking point?
That's a good one, actually. Yeah. So the danger in telematics is data is great. We all love data. But too much data can't be consumed. And that's what's happened across some carriers in North America. We see this, like user engagement is really difficult because what they'll do, and I did this. I got excited about the data that was coming in. I asked for everything. Yes, I want to know this. And then all these little alerts on my computer, I couldn't consume any of it. And then I turned it all off and we went right back to square one. So it's important for folks that are thinking about leaning into this, is like find some industry specialists, right? Like don't, you know, try to do all the research that you possibly can, because there's a lot of good options out there, and find some partners that can, maybe you don't just want to come in and track everything that moves. Maybe you don't need to track everything that moves. Find someone that can understand like what are your largest pain points in your organization and get that minimum viable product and start there. Start slowly and you can have huge gains in a very short amount of time if you control the data flow.
I think, Travis, to build on your point, for me and what I've seen in the past, is it really starts with your business. It starts with a real deep understanding of your business, the pain points and what you want to get out of telematics. So it could be as simple as I want a dot on a map. I want to know where my trailer is. It might be as basic as that. And then I think there's a responsibility there for the organization that you're working with to, you know, to really listen and understand your business and then tailor a solution that suits, not spray you with a fire hydrant full of information. Because I agree, you completely get lost and overwhelmed. And that's, you know, whether it's in your daily life, the amount of information I've got coming at me on a daily basis, you try and filter through the noise. Same with data, same with telematics. So my message would be really be clear about your business and what your objectives are, short, medium, long term. And then really start to look at people who are listening to you, who have that deep customer engagement and not trying to just sell you something. Really understand what your pain points are, how telematics can enable you, you know, and it's, I think it's got to hit two things really. It's either got to help you with revenue or help you reduce cost or efficiency side of things. And I think for me, that's so important.
I like that you brought up the fact that, you know, sometimes you really just have to take a step back. And just because there is all of these different avenues and this different potential for data collection out there, you just need to really dial it back and say, okay, well, what's important to us and our organization? Because you don't want to get lost in the noise if that's noise is going to just distract you from, you know, the core competencies of your business. So it's one of those where it's like, if you we're just going to double down on the milk gravy example. If you're a milk gravy manufacturer, you don't want to get caught up in, okay, well, is my fleet of carriers' engines running at their top levels? Like, because that's not going to, like, knowing how a truck engine running is great and wonderful and helps product get there, but that's not going to make you sell more country milk gravies or make you have more gravy product if you get lost in the noise over here of, oh, 30% of my trucks have engines that are underperforming. Like, that's something that, you know, I think everyone has a tendency to kind of get lost in that kind of noise. But jumping back into, like, if I'm back on a shipper, again, doubling down on the country milk gravy, if I'm this shipper and I said, okay, we're going to send out all of this gravy, we're going to have all these carrier partners with us. Why should my carrier partners kind of care about some of this emerging tech and kind of some of these integrations? Why should they care about these telematics when in reality, like, I just need the truck to deliver country milk gravy? Like, why should your partners have the same level of buy-in that you have?
Yeah. So why do the carriers care? Oh, well, I should admit, somebody's going to call me out on it. Country milk gravy is delivered in number 10 cans in cases, and it's non-refrigerated. I just wanted to introduce Conrad to country milk gravy, but I could have brought up a refrigerated item, but you can refrigerate it if you want to. Anyway, the reason a carrier wants it is because when I didn't have it before as a carrier, didn't have it. And I thought, well, I don't need it. I only need it for tracking. But then I realized in very short order, and you, Mary, you probably heard me talk about it a few times, those four ROIs get realized so quickly, and they're in this order realization. It's that energy burn, which I like to say energy burn because, you know, the fuel is becoming less and less. So energy consumption, maintenance cost reduction, your labor reduction as well, and product loss and damage reduction. All four of those things can be realized really quickly. They're measurable. And that's why carriers really should care about being able to consume this data.
And I think from an Australian perspective or Australian New Zealand perspective, similar sort of lines, Travis, I agree around the four ROIs. But also to add another element, I think from a chain of responsibility or supply chain perspective, you get more efficiency. You can deliver loads faster. And I'm not talking about speed here. I'm talking about with efficiency through whether it's route optimization or bridge clearances, knowing where to go. I'm also talking about maximizing pallet space on your truck. So your cost to deliver can be potentially lower or more efficient, or the carrier's making more margin. So I think there's benefits all through the supply chain. And even integrating with one of the organizations that you're delivering to, understanding their dock movements and availability, all that stuff can be entwined together as almost modules. So you get a full picture of what's happening in the landscape, and it's a positive impact all around.
That one component, Conrad, that you just said of understanding, like, the receiver's dock, it's a game changer, because there's so many times that if I'm a shipper, I could literally have a truck waiting the second stuff gets off the production line, get it on a truck, and it's, you know, being it's on the road to its final destination an hour or two after coming off the assembly line. That is perfect. That is great. That is a level of efficiency we all strive for. But if once my truck gets there, they still have to wait 4 hours to get unloaded, or they, you know, miss an appointment window or whatever at that receiver, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And I have seen many, many a bad day start with that dock. And whether that's just someone has a bad attitude on the dock is overworked, someone missed an appointment, that is that there's so much that can go wrong in that instance that I think that is probably one of the kind of the under, I don't want to say like under, I feel like it's just kind of one of those that people forget that it doesn't just rely on you and like sending things out. It also relies on who's receiving the goods as well.
It's such a perfect statement, right? What you've just made. I agree. It's all about, you know, efficiency, utilization of not only dock space, but, you know, and I don't know if this is just an Australian New Zealand saying, but typically if your wheels aren't turning, you're not making money. So to your point, if you're sitting there idle, you're not getting paid, or you've got such loss of productivity. So it's maximizing that ROI of the assets, such as the truck, the dock, and it's that whole ecosystem that everyone can benefit from.
All right. So I am sitting here, I'm a shipper, and I kind of have heard about these new telematic things. There's this new emerging technology. I'm going to see what it's about. Where do I start? How do I know that it's like, how do I know day one that like, ooh, I think I actually need this versus this is just kind of other noise happening in the world? Like, how do I know that this is something that I should be exploring either like as a shipper?
It's going to be critical that you do all that research, like reach out to 3, 4, 5 different organizations and find those industry specialists. We talked about it a few minutes ago, but it's that understand your operations. So for example, if you're a cold chain broadline operation, maybe you don't really understand what the impact of running your reefer units too long, pre-cooling too long. What does that mean? What does that math look like when it happens? I mean, there's so many different little intricacies that you can pull from this data that marry right into the operation. It's kind of just hard to understand. And this was really nice. We were Cortex at the time, that somebody came down and sat with me for a couple of days and taught me these things. And it's what made me so enamored with the platform and where I am today. So just find, you know, ask the questions. Again, Conrad brought it up. You might just need basic tracking. You might not need everything. So look for somebody that's not just going to try to sell you everything in the bag and really understand your operation.
I think just to build a little bit more on top of that, Travis, is for me, it's you're absolutely right. It's understanding first and foremost what your business problem or pains are. What you really need to do is spend some good quality time focusing on that. And, you know, a leadership technique that we use, you know, when you're managing people and teams is, you know, the 5 whys. Ask, why do you need this? Then go down another level. And usually by the 5th why, you get a really deep answer in terms of, this is actually what I'm after. And then to your point, to echo that sentiment, Travis, I would make sure that whoever you speak to, and hopefully it's Eero, but there might be others, obviously, it's make sure they're doing twice as much listening than talking. They should be really trying to understand your business. And, you know, like the age-old saying is, you've got 2 ears, 1 mouth. Make sure that people are practicing that. They're sitting there listening to your business, not just trying to peddle products and get the next commission check and leave your business and on to the next one.
I cannot scream that last part enough. Just make sure that you're working with someone that was listening to you and actually has a vested interest, because anyone can sell you a product, but who's sticking around helping you use it, making sure that, you know, it is customized to what you need. That is a game changer. And I cannot shout that from the rooftops enough of make sure that you're actually working with someone that is listening to you and is has as vested as an interest in your success as you do. So that means we have 2 questions left, and one is one of my favorite. But first, I'm going to make you pick. I'm going to make you pick what is your top technological advancement that you've seen over the last year or so. It could be either from E-Road, it could be just in the world. What is the thing that you've seen you go, ooh, I really like that?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about something from E-Road. I love it a lot. It's our core temp platform. It's been in existence for over almost 5 years now. It's our simulated algorithm product temperature platform. And it has impacted some large carriers. They're leaning into it to the point where we're using it for incentive pay and metric scoring. It's a wonderful. So we continue to develop that. Something new right now is we're going to, gosh, if you're someone in operations, we're going to give you early warnings before your temperatures breach the level of excursion that you've agreed upon with your shipper. So you can act on those and you can actually make notes on it, which is wonderful for auditors coming into your building. So that's been huge. Right around the corner, though, we're going to have historical reporting with a click of a button. So if you're in operations, hey, show me the assets that are struggling the most last month, the route numbers that are struggling the most last month. All going back to the first point, scaling the business. Seconds per day, couple of clicks, show me what I need to look at. And that's pretty powerful.
All right, Conrad, what's your favorite technological advancement?
Since Travis stole mine just then, I'll probably focus on the area of AI. And I think a lot of businesses and the industry is on the cusp of AI. There's so many cool things happening there, like the AI functionality across, you know, cold chain cameras and so forth is amazing. And, you know, for me, it's the products that Eero about to start launching out in the market with the AI technology and cameras. And it really, what that does to me, and we touched on it before, it really focuses my attention. So no longer am I sifting through hours and hours of video footage to look for when something went wrong or when something went right to reward great driving behavior or a positive experience. It serves that up to me. So it reports by exception, and you can take a lot of inefficiency out of it, you know, sifting through data, sifting through the noise. You can teach it to give you the meaningful insights that I need every day to run my business or run Eero at Australia and New Zealand. So definitely AI.
I'm also very excited about some of the AI developments that we've seen over the last few months and how it's going to apply it practically in operations. That is where I have put my little eagle eyes on, waiting to see what happens. But that being said, gentlemen, we are to my favorite part of the show. And Conrad, since this is your first time, you are going to get away without having to know a cereal is a soup. But just know if you come back, you're going to have to get it. So, Travis, Conrad, if you could have any superpower, but it only worked on a Wednesday, what would you choose? Travis, why don't you start us off?
Wednesday makes it. I love hump days. Love Wednesdays. Specifically, so Mary, when I'm not traveling around the country chasing down telematics cold chain data and I'm at home, I very much enjoy thrashing youngsters about half my age at the Ultimate Frisbee. I'm crazy about that sport. My wife actually says if something happened to her on a Wednesday night, I would have a decision to make. And I said, no, well, yes, there's Uber, there's Lyft, there's opportunities, you know. But anyway, so my superpower would be on Wednesday, 70 degrees every Wednesday, 5-mile-an-hour winds, and Ultimate Frisbee is never threatened. Because when I don't get to play, I'm super moody.
That is a very unique, but very perfectly appropriate superpower to have on a Wednesday. Just make conditions perfect for Ultimate Frisbee. I love it.
Great question, Mary. You've certainly put me on the spot. So as Travis was answering, I was just thinking about what would I say here. And I think for me, the superpower would have to be the art of teleporting back in time. And I go, why teleporting back in time? And I think for me, because middle of the week, so I'd look at the mistakes I made at the start of the week, and I usually forecast what's going to happen later in the week. So how do I maximize my week? So going back in time and correcting the things that I did wrong to make them even better. So I think it'd be going back in time and teleporting it. Being able to teleport and fix my mistakes.
I like that. That does open up the whole butterfly effect of everything. But I like that as someone who likes to not make mistakes. And like if I'm playing a game, I have to get like perfect on a level. As someone who has that strong perfection gene, I dig that. That's really fantastic.
This is why Conrad thinks on another level, right? He's thinking about solving problems. I'm concerned about playing a game and throwing a disc.
Hey, but whatever brings you joy.
That's right.
Oh, it's more the chaos that I've probably created at home, Travis. That's what I'm more for thinking about.
Good on you.
So Mary, I know you're the host, but what would your superpower be?
My superpower, it would be, I've actually thought about this, and I would like a a room of money to appear in my house just on Wednesdays. So that way, you know, you can pay off your house. You can then kind of pay off your student loan debts, just, you know, be financially stable. But then after I did that and took care of some of the people in my family, I would then buy a farm and I would use my giant room of money to, you know, become the dog shelter, the crazy dog lady, and just end up having like hundreds of dogs that live there. And I don't have to worry about getting donations because I have my room of money that I can go buy an obscene amount of dog food and make sure that the puppos get homes and surgery and medical things. So, you know, just...
This has been thought out. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, gentlemen, if someone wants to reach out to you about your superpowers, or any kind of telematics, where can they find you outside the show?
Ah, sure. So email travis.ross@eroad.com. And that's Ross spelled like R-O-S-S, like the department store, if you have one of those in your cities. Or LinkedIn, Travis Ross. You can find me.
Mine's probably a little bit easier, or just as easy. It's just Conrad, so K-O-N-R-A-D, not with a C, K-O-N-R-A-D, at eroad.com. Or Conrad Stempniak on LinkedIn as well. I'd love to connect and happy to keep going on this journey.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having us, Mary.
Thank you.
You can catch other episodes of Running on Ice right here on FreightWaves TV, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Need more Running on Ice news? No sweat. Subscribe to the newsletter on FreightWaves.com/Running on Ice. See you on the internet.